It's the dictionary.
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 Hello, word nerds. My name is Spencer. This is the dictionary. This is episode F141. And we got a lot of stuff to talk about today, so let's get into it. Let's do it like one of those YouTube tutorials. We're gonna jump right in. Bloop, bloop. All right, the first word, it's the word flow. Go watch the movie Flow if you haven't seen it. Maybe you've got some pets, maybe a dog and a cat who might want to watch it with you. I've seen lots of videos of cats watching this movie, and like, they are engrossed. I put it on, and our cat didn't seem very interested. We didn't get very far, but someday I would like to watch the whole thing and see if she reacts to anything. Flow, feature-length animated movie, no talking, with animals, won the Golden Globe and the Oscar for Best Animated Film, made on a free program called Blender, written and directed by Gintz. I'm sorry, I'm getting your last name wrong. He had a small team as well, but he did so much of this just like on his laptop. It's crazy. It's great. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful movie. Flow, first form, verb from before the 12th century. Number 1A1. To issue or move in a stream. I'm just issuing in a stream. 1A2, the synonym is circulate. 1B, to move with a continual change of place among the constituent particles, as in molasses flows slowly. Yes, it does move very slowly. That's why there's the phrase, slow as molasses. When you're trying to get your kids out of the house, they're moving slow as molasses. They're flowing so slow. So what's to move with a continual change of place among the constituent particles? Boy, that's a weird definition. The surrounding particles are moving at they're changing their place continually, so it could flow fast. All of the particles are changing their place very quickly. Or, like molasses, the particles could be changing place very slowly. Okay, now we got number two. The synonym is rise, as in the tide ebbs and flows. Ebbs and flows. Ebbs is when the tide goes away. It's going to low tide because of the moon. The moon and the earth have this gravity thing going on. And then when it's done with low tide, then the tide flows back in, rising to a high level, maybe. Ebbs and flows. Okay, number three, the synonym is abound, as in a land flowing with natural resources. It's got so many natural resources. So let's go take them. Let's go drill. Let's go take all the natural resources, and then let's deplete them. Blah, blah, blah. I don't like this. We need sustainable natural resources. Why doesn't everybody get this yet? 4A. To proceed smoothly and readily, as in, conversation flowed easily. Oh, isn't it good? It's better than good. It's great when you meet a new person and the conversation just flows so naturally and easily. That's such a good feeling. Wow, I feel like I could talk to you for days and days and days. But then after that, no, we're done. We got all the conversation out. It flowed so easily, and then we ran out of flowiness. But yeah, that's good. I've not been very good at having a good flowing conversation. I'm getting better, especially when you got like things in common that you can talk about. That's always very good. Movies are always a very good default conversation for me, but I'm trying to be better about, you know, asking people things. Small talk is weird, so I like to go deep, I like to get deep into conversation. What's going on in the brain, the mind, the spirit, what's your day-to-day stuff? Who are you? Where do you come from? What's your story? Those are always the good ones. Okay, now, next, what do we got? We got 4B, to have a smooth continuity. So it's something's continuous, maybe from in a film, a TV show from shot to shot. The shots have a continuity going from shot to shot. They flow very well. Oh, that's a very cool flow that you did with that editing. I don't know, there's lots of possible things that could have a smooth continuity. Smooth continuity. Number 5, to hang loose and billowing, as in her gown flowed around her. It hangs loose and it billows like a pillow. Number 6, to derive from a source, and the synonym is come. So it's coming from the source, deriving from that source. The example is the wealth that flows from trade. The wealth that flows from trade, it comes from the trade. Hopefully there's no trade wars with tariffs and stuff. Number 7, to deform under stress without cracking or rupturing, and this is used especially of minerals and rocks. To deform. So these minerals and rocks are deforming, they're flowing under pressure, under stress, but they're not cracking, they're not rupturing. This is fascinating. Is this just, it's such a slow process that under stress, these minerals and rocks are flowing? You mineral and rock scientists, why do you use that word there? What's the purpose of that word? It's a slow flow, like molasses. It's even slower than molasses, I think. Number 8, the synonym is menstruate, or menstruate, if you want to add an extra syllable for some reason. Menstruate, the flow. This is the verb. These were all intransitive. I may have forgotten to say that. Intransitive verbs. So it's like, so somebody actually just messaged me yesterday on the Instagram, and they said, I hear you say transitive a lot. And they were having trouble finding a good definition that really made some sense. So I want to, maybe today I'm going to see if I can like get some good information for them to be like, intransitive verb is like this, transitive verb is like this. Because I always have to sort of think about it hard. But I think transitive is when something is doing the action on something else. I think that's the easiest way. Might not always be the most accurate, but I see that as the easiest way to describe it. And the intransitive verb is when the thing, maybe a person, whatever it is doing the action itself. Is that right? So all of those things, all those definitions that we read, right? So like the tide ebbs and flows. The tide is flowing. The tide is doing the thing. Even though it's technically the gravity that's doing the actual action in the sentence, the tide is the one who is doing the verb action of the flowing. So the last one is menstruate. So I guess you could say like you are flowing, your uterus is flowing, the blood is flowing, because the thing is doing the action. So now we're going to move into transitive, which is number 1, to cause to flow, right? It's right there, to causing to flow. You're making something else flowing. If I were to pour my coffee onto the book, please don't do that. I would be making the coffee flow out of the cup. Number 2, to discharge in a flow. That could be the menstruation, could be something else, the menses, to discharge in a flow. Just anything can be discharging. The molasses from the jar, you hold it upside down, it might take a couple of minutes for the molasses to be discharged. via flow. A synonym is the word spring. Spring forth, I guess. Flowingly is an adverb. So this word is from the Old High German flowen, which means to rinse or wash, from the Latin pluere, which means to rain, like rain coming down from the sky, from the Greek plane, which means to sail or float. And in the movie Flow, which I kind of just take it as go with the flow, that's one of the meanings of the title to me. And also, it's all about a world that has been flooded, and the water is just constantly flowing, constantly moving. The animals get in a boat, right? We saw sail and float, a boat that floats with a sail, and it's just constantly going, and they just sort of have to go with it, because if they hop off, they're going to lose their boat. They're going to lose it. So they got to go with the flow. All right, let's make a flow sound, because we're moving on to the next word. It shall be whoop. Now we have the second form of flow, noun from the 15th century. Number one, an act of flowing. Number 2A, the synonym is the 1A definition for the word flood, which that episode should have had Josh on. We're going to record that in a few days. And so 1A for flood, that would be the noun form, which is the first form, which is a rising and overflowing of a body of water, especially onto normally dry land, also a condition of overflowing, like in the movie Flow. So that's another, right? The flow, the flood. Yeah, okay. Number 2B for flow, the synonym is the number 2 definition for flood, which says the flowing in of the tide. Yeah, so the tide flows, and that action is the flow. Here comes the flow. The example sentence for that one is, the tide ebbs and flow. The tides ebb and flow. So this is the tide owns the ebb and flow. It's the ebb and flow of the tide, because it's tide apostrophe S. The tides ebb and flow. Probably one each a day. 3A, a smooth, uninterrupted movement or progress, as in a flow of information. That is what you get from this podcast. If you get nothing else, you are getting a constant flow of information, especially if you just let all these episodes play, maybe either in the audio version or on YouTube. You could just, there's a playlist for each letter. You just start that playlist in the morning and you just get a flow of information for hours and hours and hours. It's a lot for the brain, but you can handle it. Now 3B, the synonym is stream. Also, a mass of material which has flowed when molten, as in an old lava flow. That lava was flowing out of the volcano. It was molten. And then after a while, it stops. It hardens. And then you call it an old lava flow. 3C. The direction of movement or development, as in go with the flow. Oh, yeah. I think that's a good... it's a good life lesson. Sometimes you just got to go with the flow. Just let it happen. Just hop on that boat and just go. Also, I like that it rhymes. Go with the flow. That always helps. If you can get a good rhyme into a good nugget of wisdom, that nugget of wisdom is twice as good now. Maybe three times. Number 4, the quantity that flows in a certain time. The amount of the stuff that flows in a given amount of time is the flow, as in a gauge that measures fuel flow. Fuel flow. That's hard to say. Number 5, the synonym is menstruation. There it is. It's the flow. That time of the month, every 28 days, give or take, on average. But, it depends on the person. There's a huge range, and it's just whatever's normal for you, that's your flow. 6A, the motion characteristic of fluids. The motion characteristic of fluids. So the fluids have a characteristic of motion, and they call it the flow. 6B, a continuous transfer of energy. Just flowing through those pipes. I don't know. Gas energy, electrical energy, some kind of energy just flowing. All right. I'm flowing the air out of my mouth. Now we have flow chart, one word noun from 1920. A diagram that shows step-by-step progression through a procedure or system, especially using connecting lines and a set of conventional symbols. Flow charting is a noun. And I think there's lots of things that use flow charts, but electrical engineers are definitely using these to show this is where the electricity comes from, and it's going through all these pipes and boggles and going through these transmuters and stuff, and they're showing how it flows through the chart. Okay, now, oh boy, I missed one. Ho 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 ho. Let's rewind. All right, we're going back a word. So we had flow. Now we have flowage. So sorry. This is a noun from 1830. Number 1A, an overflowing onto adjacent land. The flowage has come from that land, or maybe from that water, to the land that's next to the water. So it's and it's overflowing. There's too much of it, so it's too much flow. So it's flowage. Now, 1B, a body of water formed by overflowing or damming. The body of water formed by too much. So the damming is when you build a dam. What body of water is formed by the dam? I mean, there's already a body of water. You're just changing the shape of it. So is that a new body of water that's called flowage? Or when there's too much water, then there's overflowing. And does it go over a thing and creates a new body of water on the other side of a dam or something? That's flowage. It's all flowage. 1C, flood water, especially of a stream. So is this the stream created by the flood water? When the flood water, especially of a stream? I don't know. Number 2, gradual deformation of a body of plastic solid by intermolecular shear, as in the example is rock. That's an example of the plastic solid. Ooh, plastic solid. That's two hard words to put together in my brain. Plastic I think of as malleable, and solid I think of as not malleable. So, but, here's the big but. It's gradual deformation. So, as we talked about earlier, the rocks might be under some stress or pressure over many, 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 many years, eons, millennia, a decade. And because of that, that rock might get deformed. It is technically plastic, so it will get squished. You know, that's how, limestone is made, all mountains are, all the rock in the mountains have been squished over all those years. And so it's, that's flowage, I guess, the gradual deformation. The intermolecular shear. Wow. Good phrase. Okay. Now we're going to go, woo. And here is where you hear about flow chart. I'm not going to re-edit it. I'm just going to say, this is where flow chart goes. And now we go, woo again. And we move on to flow cytometry. This is two words. The second word is C-Y-T-O-M-E-T-R-Y, cytometry, noun from 1978. This is a technique for identifying and sorting cells and their components, like DNA, by staining with a fluorescent dye and detecting the fluorescence, usually by laser beam illumination.
Illumination!
So, fluorescence, I think I just had that not too long ago. Where is it? Was it in the... Wait, how do you spell it? F... Oh, no, that's F... That's F-L-U-O, which is gonna... We're gonna see that in a little while. So we haven't gotten to that word yet. Technique for identifying and sorting cells and their components by staining with a fluid dye and detecting the fluorescence, usually by laser beam illumination. This looks pretty cool. Maybe if I can find a cool picture of this flow cytometry, I'll put it on the social media. Flow cytometer is a noun. And you know what? Let's just look it up right now. Let's see if we can find what this stuff looks like. Flow cytometry. There we go. I love the good fills. Flow cytometry is a laser-based lab test that can detect chemical and physical differences of cells or particles. And do you have a good picture for me to show? Nope, that's showing me a lot of flow charts, actually. Or similar diagrams. Oh, this one is showing something interesting. It looks like it's showing me some cells, and then the cells are colored. There's like red or orange hot spots, and then other, you know, it's going through the rainbow of colors to show different things. Looks kind of interesting. Maybe you young people want to get into some flow cytometry. Now we have flow diagram. Two words. Noun from 1943. The synonym is just flowchart. That's it. And now we move on to... It's our last word. We got two forms. It's going to take up a little bit of time because it's the word flower. F-L-O-W-E-R. You could also say F-L-O-U-U-E-R. First form, noun from the 13th century. 1A. The part of a seed plant that normally bears reproductive organs. And the synonyms are blossom and inflorescence. So that is the fluorescence that we saw a little bit ago, but it's inflorescence. So where is that fluorescence word? I think I'm getting to it. Here we go. Fluorescence is the state or period of flourishing. So is inflorescence not flourishing, or is it the same thing? It might be the same thing. Let's see. So the flower is the part of a seed plant that bears the reproductive organs. A seed plant. Well, there's a lot of seed plants out there, but it's the part like, okay, let's bring the cactus back into the situation because I mentioned that before a few episodes ago. Sometimes they will, bloop, pop open a flower, and that is the thing that has the seeds that go out to make new cacti. But now we got 1B, a shoot of the sporophyte of a higher plant that is modified for reproduction and consists of a shortened axis bearing modified leaves, especially one of a seed plant differentiated into a calyx, corolla, stamens, and carpels. So I believe this is just the typical flower that you think of because we have a diagram of a flower. This is the 1B. It's the cross-section of a flower. So let's see. I'll quickly verbally describe the thing. You got a little bit of the stem coming up at the bottom, and then a couple little leaves. But then we got three leaves in the background, one in the middle, two on the sides, and then in front of those we have some things that stick up, and then some sort of football-shaped or bean-shaped things sticking on those, and some other stuff. So we're going to talk about these real quick. Number one is the filament. And that is pointing to one of those stems in the middle that's sticking up from the centerpiece. Number two is the anther, and that is pointing to the bean-shaped thing sitting on top of the filament. But with the two together, it sort of looks like I think it's like the Super Bowl trophy. It looks like the football sitting on a stand. So the anther is sitting on the filament. This is all in the center of the flower because we're looking at a cross section. Number three is the stigma, which is pointing to... So this is another thing that's shooting up from the center. It's not the anther that's sitting on the top. It's pointing to the stigma that's sitting on top, and that's a whole other thing, I guess. Number four is the style, S-T-Y-L-E, and that is pointing to, so that looks like the stem part that is below the stigma, so that there's a thing that sticks up, which is the style, and then the stigma sits on top of the style. Number five is the petal, one of the more commonly known words in a flower. That's pointing to the three things in the background. One, two, three. Those are the petals. Those are the things that typically have the beautiful colors. Number six is the ovary, and that's pointing to this thing in the very center where the petals come from, where the filament comes from, where the style comes from. There, that's that whole area right in the center, the ovary, where the eggs, the seeds, the things sprout from. Number seven is the sepal. Is that how you pronounce it? This is pointing to... Okay, so these are those two little things that I thought were leaves. So there's the stem of the whole plant that comes up. And then these are attached to that base. So there's like the main stem and then the sepal comes off of there. And then the ovary is right sort of in this center area too. And then number eight is the pedicel, P-E-D-I-C-E-L. That is pointing to, I guess it's the top of the stem, where all right below where all this is blooming from. That's the pedicel. It's not the pedestal. It's the pedicel. Number nine is the stamen, which is, it looks like it's that whole section. The pedicel, the sepal, the ovary, or is it number two and one together? I'm not really sure how they're doing this. It's hard to tell. It might be one and two together. The filament and the anther are the stamen. That seems right, actually. Number 10 is the pistil, P-I-S-T-I-L, which looks like maybe it's three and four and six together, which is the ovary, the stigma, and the style, maybe? The pistil. And then number 11 is the perianth, which maybe is five and seven together, which are the petal and the sepal. These are the things that are growing from the pedicel, I guess. Those are the perianth. Okay, I apologize, obviously, if I got any of that wrong. I'm doing this just based on a visual flow diagram or just a regular diagram, and I am not knowledgeable on the flowers and the plants, so just deal with it. It's just a start for you if you're just here now learning about what a flower is. Okay, now we got through the diagram. Now we're going to go to number 1C, which is a plant cultivated for its blossoms. Whoa. Number 2A, the best part or example, as in the flower of our youth. Oh, what was the best part of our youth? It was not having a job. Number 2B, the finest, most vigorous period is the flower. That's the flower period because things were blooming and happening and going crazy. 2C, a state of blooming or flourishing, as in full flower. What's in full flower? It's in a state of blooming or flourishing. Well, the flower could be in a state of full flower. I think my hair is definitely in a state of full flower. I do need to get it cut, though, like real soon. Number 3 would be plural. A finely divided powder produced especially by condensation or sublimation, as in flowers of sulfur. Flowers of sulfur. So the sulfur has been finally divided into a powder. Got to take a real small knife to cut every single particle into a powder. Produced especially by condensation or sublimation. Ooh, okay. Interesting ways to create that. Flowers of sulfur. Flowered is an adjective. Flowerful is an adjective. Flowerless is an adjective. And flower-like is an adjective. All adjectives. This word is from the Middle English flower, spelled like your grain flour, which means flour, or it also means best of anything, or it also means flour, like the flour you have in your cabinet. From the Anglo-French fleur, from the Latin fleur or flos, and there's more at the word blow, and that's pretty much it. So yeah, just flour means flour, or also best of anything. This is a podcast flower, don't you think? All right, let's do one more word. The flow of my face. Now we have the second form of flower, which is a verb from the 13th century, starting with intransitive. Number 1a, the synonym is develop, as in flowered into young womanhood. There's a lot of, I think, other meanings using that word in that specific context of flowering into young womanhood. Well, you know, blossoming, blooming, you can also flower into young manhood if you are of that sort of type of person. But, you know, specifically with young womanhood, clearly there's a connection with the word flow, and that's not what they mean, but you know, you can't not think about that because of the words. All right, now, 1b. The synonym is the second definition of the word flourish. Something's flourishing. It's flowering. It's blooming. I always go to the word blooming. Blossoming and blooming. And it's an onion. Number 2. To produce flowers. The synonym is blossom. So literally, the plant, the thing, is flowering. Oh, look, it's flowering. We haven't seen that cactus flower in so many years. I think my sister has some sort of plant that has only flowered maybe like once every 5 years or something like that. Transitive is number 1, to cause to bear flowers. So something, now see, this is weird. Yeah, so transitive, right. So something else is making something else bear flowers. I don't really know how that happens, but I'm sure there's a very good example. Number 2, to decorate with flowers or floral designs. Maybe you're getting ready for some spring party. Oh, maybe the Rose Parade. Before the Rose Bowl in California, they have to flower a bunch of floats by putting flowers on everything. Flowerer is a noun. Flowerer. How many examples of words are there like that where they end in ER, but then when you turn it into the thing that is doing the action, you add another ER, like this one, flowerer. I can't think of any off the top of my head. So we are going to have a number of more flower words in the next episode, because that's just how this goes when you do everything alphabetically, which is really how I like to live my life. I like to live my life alphabetically. So let's pick a word of the episode. Today we had float, flow, flowage, flowchart, flow cytometry, flow diagram, flower, and flower. I think I just got to pick flow as the word of the episode for so many reasons. Mainly because of the movie, the new movie, and also just I like the idea of going with the flow. I'm going with the flow. Where will we go when we go with the flow? We're gonna hang out in the stove. There's a better way to end that song, I think. What's a word that rhymes with flow? And I have to think too hard about that sort of thing, because I'm not very good at coming up with those words at the top of my head. Let's see if we can think of... I mean, there's so many words. Going with the flow. Please don't take my toe. Anyway, let's end that part. Now, let's quickly talk about a movie that we watched, which was just last night. We watched No Other Land, and there's way too much to say about this. I will try to be brief. My heart hurts for these people. It won the Academy Award for Best Feature-Length Documentary. It is the story of, to put it real simply, the Israeli military coming in to where Palestinians are living and destroying their homes to take over the land for military training or just cause. And it goes on from there. And this was all shot before the Hamas attack on Israel. And this is just a human rights thing. Our small local theater that was playing this has gotten a little bit of hate mail, hate messages for people, for them showing this movie, because they're saying that it's lies and propaganda. And I think that that is just ridiculous. And clearly this situation is incredibly complicated and has been going on for a very long time. I mean, really, centuries, when you really think about it, if not millennia. And, you know, it's fucked the fuck up. For real. And you don't have to be anti-Israeli or Jewish while also being pro-Palestinian. You can be pro-human. You can be for the Israeli people and the Jewish people, but also not like what the government is doing. And you can be for the Palestinian people, but not like what Hamas is doing. How hard is this for people to understand? It's too simple, too easy to pick one side. It's not that easy. It's way more complicated. I don't know if I said that correctly, but I don't think you can't just be one or the other. I just don't see how that is possible. It's the extreme versions of each that are the problems, right? Isn't that pretty much what it is? I mean, my heart goes out to the innocent people on both sides. You know, they are stuck, and I think the thing that you can't forget about this film is that there is an Israeli journalist who is coming to Palestine, to the Palestinian people, to help them to fight against his own people, his own Israeli people, his own country, to tell them, look at what you're doing. This is ridiculous. Ridiculous isn't even the right word. So there's a lot to say, and it was so... You got to see this movie, No Other Land, if you can find it somewhere. And I'm very curious to see the other documentary, October 8th. I don't know, you know, clearly they're dealing with similar but different things. I only saw one trailer about it. I'm very curious. I don't know if it's necessarily pro-Israeli. It sure seems anti-Hamas. So I don't know. I'm very curious to see it. But that movie, I think, is being played in bigger theaters, and No Other Land is not getting as much play. We had to watch it in a very small local theater, which luckily plays independent movies, art movies, foreign movies, documentaries, and they do play some big movies, but October 8th, I think, is getting a lot more attention. And so, you know, maybe go see both. Be equal in what you're doing. Do all this. Live your life in moderation. So that's all I can say. I can't live in feeling that sadness and hatred, and it's super depressing, which is why you got to see it, because you got to see what's going out what's going on in the rest of the world. On that note, this is Spencer dispensing information, trying to just go with the flow of life, but also make your own flow. Sometimes you gotta have other people go with your flow. And, you know, again, moderation. When you resist the flow, that's when I think that's when problems arise. So sometimes you just gotta sit on that raft and go with the flow. Goodbye.